Thank you. I thought I'd do a fun lesson today, something that's been on my to-teach list for a while, and something I've spoken about just offhand a few times, titled 100 Most Important Things You Should Learn from the Bible. And I know, I cannot teach 100 things in an hour because of how often I like to speak about each point. But I am just going to list them, obviously. But the real lesson here is not giving you the answer to the 100 most important things, though we'll be doing some of that. It's about the idea of creating your own list of 100 most important things in the Bible for your own edification, for your own exercise in discernment and judgment. And when I say make a list of 100 things in the Bible, or important things in the Bible more than that, you might be thinking immediately, well, 100 is a lot, Justin. How are you going to get through 100? You're already talking too much. Get to it. You know, you need to get through the 100. But it's not really a lot. If you think about the number of 100, you probably have more than 100 songs on your favorite playlist. I can probably ask you what your favorite 100 songs are, and it'll be pretty easy for you. Or sports athletes and say, what's the top 100 baseball players? You might say, well, okay, well, we can do that pretty easily. Or what about places you'd like to go in the world? Name the top 50 of those. You're like, oh, yeah, there's lots of places I'd like to go in the world. Or movies or TV episodes or sitcoms. I mean, there's more episodes in binge watching on Netflix than there are 100. I mean, you're watching hundreds of episodes, and that's just one TV sitcom you try to watch. Dishes that you like to eat. What are your favorite foods? You can list those pretty easily. Or books. The list goes on and on. People love making lists, and 100 really is not that much of things that you're familiar with and things that you enjoy. And this is really why saying list 100 things that are most important to you about the Bible is difficult, perhaps because you're not familiar with it. Perhaps you haven't stopped and thought about what these things are. So that's what I'm trying to do today's lesson, a fun exercise, and just to think about that there's at least 100 things in the Bible that are most important for us to understand and to study. Which means, by the way, if we're talking about 100, not just things, but most important things, that means you have to know more than 100, right? You have to have more on the table to discern what's the most important, you know, and to discern that. People say, well, I don't have time for this exercise. You know, I don't have time to make a list of 100 things. Well, you are right. You do not have time, which is why this type of exercise is actually important. Because if you're just randomly opening the Bible up to study whatever comes to your attention when you do this, it's a poor way to know how to study the Bible. Amen. Some of you say, well, I'll read from the beginning to the end. Well, that's a good practice to do, but it takes a while as well. If you want to speak the Bible, it takes about 95 hours. And that's if you were to read right through it. You don't have time. That's correct. Your time is short. Your life is quickly diminishing. You don't have time to study everything that the Bible has in it. I've already come to terms with that. If I go at the rate I'm going, our verse-by-verse study on Tuesdays, I cannot finish every book of the Bible in my lifetime, unless I'm Noah's age or something. So just not going to work. We don't have time, which is why we need to prioritize. We need to figure out what's the most important things for us to learn that will benefit our ministry, to benefit our life now. Which is why this is an important exercise, just a fun one. Because if you're wasting your time studying less important issues, not knowing the more important issues, you're going to hurt yourself and others, you see. So this is really an exercise in judgment and discernment, okay? This is exactly why you need to do it. The problem, by the way, should not be listing 100 things, but listing the most important 100 things. Amen. You can probably, if you thought about it, ramble off 100 things you heard about in the Bible. And if you did that, by the way, you'd have more biblical literacy than most of America. But we're talking to Bible students here this morning. We're talking to people who want to be workmen that need not to be ashamed. And so we're talking about the most important 100 things. One of the most important things one should learn from the Bible, assuming you're a blank slate. You're teaching someone who knows nothing. So don't assume, oh, they already know that. They learned that in Sunday school. No, there's nothing. What are the most important things to learn to teach someone from the Scripture? Okay. Not a small part of wisdom is being able to discern what is more and less important, which is to say, a big part of wisdom is this type of discernment. Because a lot of things will come at you in life or even Bible study or in ministry, which it's not that either one of them is wrong, but which one is better or more important. A lot of Bible questions, you must respond that way. You'll get a Bible question at the fairs even. You say, what about this or that thing? Have you heard of this or that thing? You have to quickly discern the importance of the subjects that have been thrown at you. Because you will get thrown at you subjects that are entirely unimportant for the function you're trying to do. Okay? It's not that they're not biblical even. They may be in the Bible. They may be a controversy among Christians. But we need to redirect something more important. Okay? And you have to have the discernment to be able to do that. We advise at our fair ministries to always try to take conversations back to the gospel to at least affirm that they're saved if they're saved. Okay, they can bring up anything they want. You can mission anything they want, but you need to learn how to get back to things more important. And so this is what wisdom looks like. So this list that we're going to make here is not necessarily a list of the most fun things in the Bible. Like, I really enjoy this. That's not the list. That's a separate thing. Or the most popular things, because that would also be a different list. Or your favorite things. This is not your life verse. What's your favorite thing in the Bible? No, these are the most important things in the Bible. It's not the most controversial, even the most debated. Many debates Christians have, quite frankly, aren't on the list or pretty low on the list of important things you should know in the Bible. And so, again, we're trying to focus what we're doing here, 100 most important things you need to learn from the Bible. And this, like I said, a good exercise in your discernment, your judgment, or as Paul wants to pray for you in Philippians 1, verse 10, to approve things that are excellent. And so when Paul says he prays that they would approve things that are excellent, that's their ability not just to know and have judgment of things, but to know what's better than the other things. Biblically speaking, he's talking about how God gave his law. The law was more excellent than not having it. Right? Then Jesus came, and what he was saying was more excellent than even the Moses' law. And then Paul was given relish to the mystery, which he says is more excellent than what's ever been revealed before. And so we have to have a discernment about the most important things in the Bible, especially those of us now who have the complete, finished Bible and are told to study it to show ourselves approved unto God. Okay, so let's get going. We have no time to waste here. I've already wasted 6 minutes. Let's try to cover 100 most important things you should learn from the Bible. Let's start with the top 10. Now, when you talk about the most important things, this is where we get real heady and say, the most important, what's the greatest thing in the Bible that one can learn? And these should be relatively easy. Right? I mean, you know a lot of things from the scripture, right? You've listened to lessons, studied the Bible. You've been to church for a while. Surely you can throw a dart at the board and get a few of the top 10 most important subjects. You can find these subjects in verses like John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? No man cometh the Father but by me. Or 2 Corinthians 5:21, where God had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a great verse. And so you find these great verses, and the things in these verses are important things for you to know. Right? Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Right? A great verse talking about salvation there. Or Romans 5:8, God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Like, these verses are filled with some of the most important subjects in the Bible, including the Godhead. I am the way, I am the truth, I'm like the Godhead. Like, who is God? You might include in the Godhead here the three in one, right? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And already I'm giving two or three things to you. But the Godhead is extremely important. Amen. You get the wrong God, you don't have biblical Christianity. You have not learned what the Bible is trying to tell you, who God is, what God is. You need to know what the Godhead is. This is an extremely important, I'll put the number one on the list, Godhead. Okay? So when people come to you and say, I can rightly divide with the best of them, but they get the Godhead wrong, you got to discern, like, wait a minute. There's something more important than right division. That's the Godhead. Okay? If you think, as a mid-axis dispensationalist, the most important thing from the Bible you can learn is mid-axis dispensationalism, I question your judgment. Okay? You need to be able to evaluate what's most important. Jesus Christ. Now, this is, again, where people say, everyone knows Jesus. No, they don't. Jesus Christ is what the Bible is trying to communicate to you. Okay, to know what Christ is as the prophesied Messiah, to know Jesus is the Savior, to know him and his person, his humanity, his divinity, his incarnation, right? Jesus Christ is your Savior. God, who made him to, who's the him? Jesus. To be sin for you who knew no sin. Was Jesus a sinner? He wasn't, right? So this verse is talking about very important things, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Speaking of that verse, there's sin in that verse. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Well, what in the world's sin? That's also a big subject of the scripture. I've said before, you would not really know what sin was without this book right here, without the revelations of the law and scripture and prophecy in this book. You would not have an idea what sin was. You have a conscience to know excuse and accuse and know right and wrong that way generally, but this book and the law gives the knowledge of sin, right? So sin's very important for you to understand how you've broken. You're in transgress this relationship with a righteous God. Righteousness. See, what should you learn from the Bible? Sin, righteousness, God, Jesus? You might be noticing at this point, these most important things are pretty simple, you would think. At the same time, these are areas where many people disagree, even in the church, which is a shame. So it's a myth when you've heard that people in churches generally believe the same thing. They disagree about trivial issues. These are the most important things you can learn from the Bible. And they disagree about the Godhead, about who Jesus was, whether he was sinless or not, what sin is, whether sin is a real thing, what righteousness is. Okay, but these are important subjects to understand and to know. What about forgiveness? I think about at least the top 10, I would think, of things in the Bible, right? Forgiveness is a big one. Like the scripture teaches throughout it that God wants to save, and that comes through the forgiveness of sin.
Amen.
A concept the world still struggles to grasp. Forgiveness. And this is unique to the scripture. Or faith, which is a word people use about religions generally, but the Bible tells you what faith is. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You're saved by grace through faith. You're justified by faith, therefore you have peace with God. Faith seems to be pretty important in the Bible. If you don't know what faith is, or argue the meaning of faith, or they're trying to define it, and you don't know what it is your faith is in, you're missing one of the most important things you should learn from the Bible. Grace should be up there. Of course, we might be biased in our dispensation. God's dispensing grace, and we preach the gospel of grace, and Paul uses the word grace almost 100 times. But grace is extremely important for understanding the scriptural narrative and the purpose of God and his will in the Bible. Salvation. You see, all this kind of encompasses salvation. True. Salvation is one of the most important things in the scripture, right? Life. Where did it come from, right? How do we get it? Jesus says, I'm the way and the truth and the life. He's life. What does that mean, to have life in Christ? Learning what your life is about. This is an important subject in the Bible. Truth. Pilate asked, what is truth? Let God be true. Again, we're just listing top 10 here. These things, you're like, yeah, of course, those are very important. These are foundational, important subjects. We can all agree on the subjects. We might disagree in the greater churchianity on what these things mean. But when you start arguing or debating or conversing nicely, as Christians do, about disagreements regarding truth, salvation, forgiveness, righteousness, right? Jesus. This is where the level of conversation is at. It's at the most important level. These aren't things to be silent about, right? These aren't things that we should say, well, these are just secondary issues and all things love. We should speak these truths in love. These should be the easiest. These are just the top 10 right there. I just listed 10 of them. But much disagreement is found around these, which is shameful. But there are some other things, as we continue on the list here, that are just as important as these top 10. It's hard sometimes. We put God at number one. You got to God and Jesus Christ. Salvation's got to be up there. But these next 10 or 15 here, it's like, these are also pretty important. It gets hard to rank them, right? Without these things, there's no reason for Christianity. There's just no reason for it. God can exist without you, by the way. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is the Savior, whether you're saved or not. Sin exists, whether you're saved from it or forgiven from it or not. And knowing God's purpose about grace and salvation is very important. Without these things, there's no reason for it. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 2, 1 and 2, Paul says he declares the gospel unto you by which you are saved. And he's telling them this gospel lest they believe in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. This gospel by which you are saved, that seems pretty important. We talk about salvation being important, but now we have the gospel being presented. You're saved by the gospel, yes? So salvation is a thing you study, but the gospel is a thing you preach, right? And you preach that message of salvation, and Paul says this is the gospel. He mentions Christ there and his burial and his death for your sins and his resurrection. Speaking of which, look down at verse 13. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain and your faith is in vain. Remember faith being one of the top 10 most important things in the Bible? Well, your faith's in vain without the resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
That would seem to be very important. So resurrection, hope, which is our hope in the resurrection and glory, justice. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. It's 5, verse 18. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Notice God's in the verse. Christ is in the verse. We have a couple other things, however. Reconciliation, right? Reconciled to God in this ministry of reconciliation here. So reconciliation seems to be pretty important. We have coming judgment, which is no less important. Like, there's no reason for Christianity, no reason for salvation if there's not a coming judgment.
Amen.
Right? God is the righteous judge. He's the holy judge. He's also the Savior. It's a very important understanding from the Scripture to understand on what basis he judges and that there is a judgment to come. It's destined for man once to die and then to face the judgment. And if you're not aware of that, then what's the point of this? Is it a self-help book? God's just trying to help you live the life that's yours? Or is it that God is trying to set things right with his righteous judgment? There's the glory of God, what we hope for, the hope of glory. We talk about heaven or the kingdom of God on earth being the manifestation of God's glory. What does that even mean? Because you know the Bible talks a lot about it. It talks a lot about what you're looking forward to. And if you don't spend the time to study that, to study what the glory of God is, you might think it's just joining a club. Yeah, I'm going to heaven. What's heaven like? I haven't thought about it in a while. Like, what is glory? Right? You're going to be hard-pressed to be motivated toward a thing unless you know the goodness of the thing. And God's glory is greater than anything else that you've seen, right? And the Bible describes this, the glory of God, the glory to come. I mentioned the gospel. What about love? You see, that should be pretty important. God is love, after all, right? And he committed his love in dying on the cross for our sins. Knowing what love looks like, we taught a lesson on that a couple months ago, is a very important thing in the Bible. What about joy? See, now you're just naming things people want. Well, yeah, it's also important in the Bible. Like, the Bible teaches what to enjoy. How God's given all things freely to enjoy, and how not to enjoy sin, and things like that. Like, joy is spoken of in the Scripture. Joy unspeakable. Peace. Yes, every Miss America pageant winner wants world peace. Right? But God actually provides it. Okay, so how to have peace with God, peace with others, peace on earth, the Bible speaks of this. Eternal life would seem to be very important for you. God is eternal. He has life. But you having eternal life is no small subject. How to get it? What does it mean? What does it look like? Do I have it now or later? Right. Eternal life. Now, we can't neglect other things. We're starting to make a big list here. We've got about 20 things going on. We're already a fifth of the way through of most important things. But we can't neglect things that have come up already. What about the cross? We haven't mentioned that yet. So you mentioned salvation. Yeah, remember, I'm assuming someone doesn't know anything. I say salvation to you. You say your salvation is based on the gospel, the grace of God through Christ finished. Well, that's a lot there, isn't there? The cross is a lesson you have to communicate to this person. How do you get saved? What is the gospel? Christ died for your sins, so what? What does that mean? You got to preach the cross and what the meaning of that is. We saw the ministry of reconciliation, which is you being reunited to God through Christ's mediation. These salvation words like redemption, we have redemption through his blood. Sanctification, Christ is our sanctification. Christ is wisdom to us, wisdom. This is a pretty big subject in the Bible that's very important.
Yes.
Be not unwise, but understand the will of the Lord. Seek wisdom. Sell it not, the Bible says, right? In Christ is all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom is a thing we should try to attain from Bible study. At least understand what the thing is. Might as well throw the church in there at this point because God created the church, the body of Christ today, and the church is an important idea that you need to understand. We were talking about this morning, what the church is and the differences among usages of the church. It's a good Bible study to understand what the church is. What about prayer? I mean, prayer is important too. Where does that fall on the list? I don't know. We're on number 30 or something now. Okay, how can there be 29 things more important than prayer? Well, there's a lot of important things in the Bible.
Yeah.
Prayer is important. Throughout the Scripture speaks about prayer. How to do it, what happens when you don't know what to pray as you ought. Do we expect things to happen when we pray or not to happen when we pray? What happens when prayers don't get answered? Do we confess sins in prayer? A lot of communication in Scripture about prayer. Talking to God, communing with God, talking. What about how you grow in Christ Jesus? You say, well, yeah, these are a lot of things that you mentioned them, and we've heard lessons on them. We've studied them before here. Yes, because they're important things. One of the reasons and one of the ways I pick what to speak about on Sundays or on Tuesdays, verse by verse through books, but, you know, what to communicate is whether they're important or not. Sometimes we have fun lessons. I think this lesson's kind of fun. Sometimes we study things that aren't on the top 100 list, and that's also engaging. But we need to make sure we're covering important things in our ministry so that we're growing in the knowledge of the truth. But how do you grow? The Bible speaks about your spiritual growth and understanding. Progressive revelation. We talk about studying the Bible and how to grow in understanding. We have to talk about how to look at this Bible, and we have to realize that we have the whole Scripture that spans 1,400 years, and God progressively revealed the thing. You learn this from the Bible. You don't recognize that, you're going to fail to rightly divide, right? You're going to fail to understand the context. And so understanding God's changing operations or dispensations or how he works in the world is very important for your understanding of your instructions, right? So no, I didn't say dispensationalism as an ism or my system of theology. I said recognizing God's changing operations. Yeah. The Bible uses the word dispensation of the grace of God. You should know what that is. Amen. If that's something we're supposed to minister in Ephesians 3, verse 1 and 2. Yeah. What about God's will? Say, that's extremely important. God's will is different than God himself. You know, God himself is the ultimate being, but God's will is what he wants done and what he wants you to do. You better understand what that is, because God speaks a lot in the scripture and tells many people to do different things. This is a big subject for you personally, to know what God's will is for your life, and the Bible actually reveals what that is. Amen. That's very important. You might throw the mystery in here at this point, which many people don't have on their list at all, not knowing it exists. But very important to know what the fellowship of the mystery is, this new creature of the body of Christ, and who you are in him. God's will, of course, is stated in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, that all men be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which we use as somewhat as a motivating purpose verse for our ministry, as a commission verse to make all men see the fellowship of the mystery, because it's such an important thing that once you see this mystery has been revealed in Christ Jesus for you, then you understand your salvation, you understand God's will, you start to understand the purpose of God more. So this revelation that completes and fulfills the Word of God gives you a greater understanding of a lot of these important subjects we've already been talking about, which tells you when a church doesn't understand this mystery, it might affect some of these important things that we've been talking about so far. So we got about 30 things so far. We're already a third of the way done. That's not so bad. Keep going, right? These are just the most important things. Well, what else should we consider? Well, maybe we should consider important people or events or virtues. There's lots of things that the Bible contains. Remember, we're trying to concern ourselves with the most important things here. There's lots of people in the Bible. There's many books you can buy listing every person in the Bible or all the women in the Bible or all the men in the Bible. But you got to admit, some people are more important than others in the Bible. You are not the most important person in the world, and neither is some of the other people in the Bible. There's whole genealogies of people that you have forgotten after you skim through them and you read through the Bible year program, right? So there are people that God puts in the scripture and has used throughout history to communicate things in the scripture to us and to others that we can learn from. That's what makes them important. It's not because they're sinless or more perfect or anything like that. It's that in the biblical revealing of things, we understand that they play a role in God's purpose. What about events, things that happen in the Bible? You can't understand the Bible history without knowing the events of that biblical history. And some events are more important than others, right? Virtues that are listed in the scripture, we'll cover here in a moment. Godly attributes. We talked about the Godhead, but you know how many attributes God has? Quite a few. We'll talk about some of those. What about instructions? We talked about God's will, but we haven't talked about specific instructions or fundamentals of Christianity. We've already named Jesus Christ as a fundamental, the Godhead as salvation as a fundamental. Is that all the fundamentals? Are we missing any? Because there's a couple we haven't mentioned yet that are fundamental to Christianity. We're already at number 30 on the list. Okay. Let's start with the people. Joseph, being one of the greatest types of Jesus Christ in the scripture. He has over 100 similarities with Jesus Christ, prophetically speaking. But Joseph, back in Genesis, speaking of Genesis, you can talk about Adam, the first man, if you want to put him on the list or not. You can make that discernment. Abraham was given covenants and promises, justified by faith, without works, without law, without circumcision, was the preeminent father of the nation of Israel, right? Whose son was Isaac that foreshadowed the birth of Jesus Christ. Abraham is extremely important for understanding faith in the scripture. Job. So, yeah, Job, he seems like a book people always read. Why is Job important? He only has a book about it. You don't read about him much anywhere else, right? It's some 40-some chapters. But Job, in his account, speaks a lot to suffering. And that may be why it may be important to understand some of Job. Moses seems to be an important character. Without Moses, in fact, the whole law is referenced to Moses at some points. From his birth to his growing up in the wilderness to his delivering Israel to his getting the law to his sending to the promised land, the guy's an important figure in biblical history. How about Samuel? Put Sam there on your outline, right? The prophet of Israel, called of God to ordain the first kings of Israel, Samuel, and all the involvement he had prophetically in Israel's history. David, the greatest king in Israel's history. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived and the richest, including Elon Musk. Mary, not unimportant just because we're not Catholic. She's the mother of Jesus Christ, blessed among women, right? And she was the one through which Jesus was born. Peter, one of the chief apostles of Jesus' earthly ministry, who wrote different books of the Bible, who we have different thanks to Peter and his zealousness and his willingness to jump in feet first, quite literally. We have many accounts and lessons to learn from Jesus' earthly ministry. Thanks to Peter. Thank you, Peter. You don't have that many stories about Thaddeus, right? He was there, but you know, he was just listening, you know. There's John. His gospel tells a lot about the divinity of Jesus Christ. We have a few other epistles referring to the remnant about him. The Apostle Paul, our apostle, our pattern of salvation through which Christ showed long-suffering first to all of us hereafter should follow as a pattern in understanding God's grace and mercy to save us as sinners. I put a couple of bad people on the list because you say, well, it can't just all be good people. When I say important, I just don't mean good. I mean important to understanding the Bible. And if you don't know the error of Balaam, I think it's a problem. As Jude talks about it, Peter talks about it, following into the error of Balaam and what he was doing there. He said, well, I haven't studied that. Well, you might put that on the top 100 things you ought to know. Not as big as the Godhead, not as big as salvation, but of people, you probably should understand who he is. What about Judas? He said, yeah, that was an evil guy. Yeah, you better know who he was, though. You better know what happened. You better know that when Jesus says, I chose you, 12, and one of you is a devil, when he told Judas to go do what you have to do, will you betray me with a kiss, Jesus said? That's not Shakespeare, it's Jesus, right? And this has to do with Judas and how he responded to the Lord. All right. What about important events in the Bible? The creation seems like one of the most important events in the Bible, without which you wouldn't exist, right? God being the creator, something that caused a ruckus in secular society when they realized they thought scientifically that the world was had a beginning, and that sounded too biblical for them, and so they wanted to deny it. But creation has an effect on your understanding of why God has a right to judge, right? And why, how God's going to restore creation, how we should think of creation. The flood has had a big historical effect and a picture of God's judgment. The Exodus is no small account. We'll cover a little bit in our seminar this year of how the Exodus foreshadows future events. It's not just a historical thing. The Exodus of Israel from Egypt. You could talk about parables that Jesus taught, and of them, I don't think you can find a more important one than perhaps the parable of the sower. Right? If you're going to pick one. Most important parable. Do you understand it? You say, well, I've heard of it. You see what I'm talking about. There's important things we need to know. Right? Other parables you may not even know exist. But you can make a list of parables, and many of them are important and needed in the scripture. But of the most important parable, the sower might be up there. The temptation of Jesus Christ. There's two accounts of it in Matthew and Luke. Very important. You've heard the phrase, man does live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus said that when he was tempted to the devil. Right, and it's been quoted by Christians for centuries, and you and I as well, to show the importance of the words of God in Jesus' own temptation on earth as a man, as he's showing that he faced the same things you do regarding sin. What about the story of the adulterous woman? The story of the adulterous woman where Jesus responds with, you know, him without sin, let him cast the first stone. You know, when they accused her of adultery and caught her in the act. Remember that? He was writing on the ground, and everyone's distracted about what he's writing on the ground, and the Bible doesn't tell you what he's writing on the ground, and it doesn't matter because the people who were there didn't even read what he's writing on the ground because it says they heard what he said and were convicted. But John 8, the adulterous woman, the account of that, how God, through Jesus Christ, kept the law perfectly while showing perfect mercy and forgiveness to this woman, right? Which, if you heard my lesson a few weeks ago, is removed from newer Bibles, thinking it doesn't belong in the Word of God. It's on my top 100 most important things you can learn from the Bible. So I take umbrage to that, right? The disciples' prayer. I call it the Lord's Prayer, but Jesus never prayed it a day in his life. He taught his disciples how to pray as they should pray going to the kingdom, which has been repeated, in some cases, ad nauseum by people repetitively, wrongly. But it teaches something very important about the kingdom Jesus is teaching to Israel and what will happen, praying for daily bread as they did in the wilderness. You can go on and on talking about important events and stories in Jesus' earthly ministry and Paul's ministry. We're trying to evaluate the most important things. You start to see quickly that when I say 100, these slots are filling up fast. And now you start to evaluate. Only 100, huh? Remember, we started out with 100. That's way too much. But now we're going, there's a lot of stuff now that I got to decide which one to put in on this list. That's what I'm talking about. That's the exercise that you need to discern. Because as you come to the scripture, all of the Bible is necessary and needed for you. But you do need to discern what is important for someone's growth what's important for their need to know right now, what's their important for salvation. You have to discern the importance of different doctrines to know how to minister to people and minister to yourself. And if you're not there yet to discern the importance, you think just everything is equally important, then you need to grow in that judgment to discern. Some things in the Bible are more important than others. Right? Reading the genealogies, not on the top 100 most important things to do. And yet Jesus' genealogy has an importance to it, you see. But I would not remove those genealogies from your Bible. There's lots of things you can learn from them. They're just not the top 100 most important things. Okay? Which is why Paul says, if we're going to argue about genealogies, not the most important thing. Like, avoid that type of practice. Okay? He doesn't say rip it out of your Bible. So we're talking about most important things you can learn here within an hour. I think I'm doing pretty good. We're 30 minutes in. Got about 40 things going on so far, 40, 50. Right? Didn't think I could do it, could you? I'm not teaching all these things. There's also lesser known important things. I think I taught a lesson 7 or 8 years ago called lesser known important things, or important things you didn't know that were in the chart or something like that. And those things concerned in that lesson, Israel's promises that were fulfilled. Now, many people recognize the promises to Abraham and the kingdom promise to Israel, but there's places in Israel's past where it says those promises were fulfilled. Do you know the fulfilled promises God gave to Israel? You know why that's important? To know that God keeps his promises. Amen. Right? Else, name one promise God kept. You know, Jeopardy music ensues. You better know that. Like, if you trust God's word and you think he's trustworthy, you better know what the promise was and how it was fulfilled. And there are places like in Joshua that said he fulfilled all that was promised. Well, amen, praise God to that. Amen. Right. You need to know Israel's fulfilled promises. You need to know about their captivity, which is little talked about, especially when we draw charts. We have limited time to draw a chart lesson in an hour on Sundays. But Israel's captivity, they had their kingdom. They passed the glory of David and Solomon, and then they fell. And by God's judgment and his foreknowledge, he took them away from their land. That's where you get Daniel. Right? They're in captivity. Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, they were taken away. You need to understand the doctrine of the captivity. And just to plug my seminar this year, but also just to put it on this list because it's important, is the remnant. Because the prophecy of they'll be taken out of the land, but a remnant of Israel will return to their land. Is extremely important to understand why they existed when Jesus came. Amen. Okay, and why they will exist again when Jesus comes. Yeah. The remnant is an important doctrine in the scripture that many people don't even know is there. So you see already there's a few things on this list that are most important, we haven't got to 75 yet, that people don't even know exist. We have the mystery, the remnant, like this is why this is a good exercise. And by the way, as you grow in understanding of the Bible, you might put some things on there you didn't know. Well, this seems to be pretty important. That deserves to be on this list. Well, then do that. This is not in stone here. I'm just teaching a lesson about making the list, giving you some suggestions of what might be most important in your Bible study. Philippians 4, verse 8, Paul says, think on these things. Well, let's consider what he says to think on. They might be important. What you think about, you think that's important? You have lots of thoughts. You might be thoughtful people. How do you think? Paul says, finally, brethren, finally, the final thing I'm going to tell you. Oh, finally, this should be a thing. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, that two-letter word, do. Do the things you've heard and seen. Think about these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. What an important verse. You say, well, there's lots of important verses. I know. That's what makes this difficult. What is the most important places? But thinking on these things might be important. In fact, the general subject of your walk and your mind should be on the list. However you want to describe that. Your walk in the Spirit. By the way, the Spirit's the first time I mentioned him. He seems to be pretty important. The Holy Spirit, who is part of the Godhead, knowing that the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost is on the list. Right? But walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is important. By the way, something you only find in Paul's epistles, Romans 6, 7, and 8 in his epistles, how to walk in the Spirit, because the Spirit's been revealed in the church, the body of Christ. He dwells in you as the temple of the Holy Ghost. How do you walk in him? Something Christians are continuing trying to study and learn. It's not a small subject. Your worthy walk. What makes your walk worthy? What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? A phrase Paul uses. The fruit of the Spirit, and how do you manifest it? Right? How does it grow in you? What about who you are in Christ? Your new identity, your position, the crucified life, you're dead to the law, Romans 7 teaches, Romans 8 gives you assurance. I think assurance is pretty important. Amen. The the assurance of your salvation, the assurance of who you are, the assurance of your knowledge in Christ Jesus, that you're complete in him. Was that one or three things? I don't know. It's important to know this subject of how nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. In fact, we've been studying Romans for a couple of years now, and Romans is the most important book I believe you can study in the Bible. Amen. Put Romans on the list as a book. Study it out, right? If you're judging important books in the Bible, Romans comes before Haggai. Most definitely, right? But Haggai needs to be there too. And so you have these issues of what else? After you consider the Godhead and salvation, it gets a little more personal to you and how you live and how you should think and how you should walk and what. That's a lot of important things to learn from the Bible, and it teaches you that. See, what else do we need to put on the list here? We haven't finished the list. Well, we might turn to something like systematic theology. You heard of systematic theologies? Systematic theologies are things that theologians and scholars try to do to look at the corpus of the Bible and Christian thought and try to organize it in such a way where you have a dictionary of doctrines in different categories. Be careful with theology. A lot of it includes philosophy and things that aren't in the Bible and history and things like that. But the good thing about trying to think about the Bible doctrines, as we're doing this morning, is to try to prioritize them or categorize them into groups. And some of you have more interest in that than others, categorizing and organizing things. But it has helped people who say, well, what does the Bible say about this doctrine? There you go. Dispensationalists have not had a good track record of creating systematic theologies, and that's because of lots of different reasons. Luce Berry Schaefer has a famous one in multiple volumes. It's not that bad. And there's a few others that are nameless and don't really reach the level of significance, but we need to consider systematic theologies are worthy of our consideration to see what things are important. Is what they're saying outside the Bible, or does the Bible actually teach these things that they list? In systematic theology, we'll list about 9 or 10 different categories of doctrines, starting with theology proper, which is to describe what and who God is, God and all of his attributes. We're talking about verbose writings, about biblical scripture of God's attributes, right? It's interesting reading, but do you know God's attributes? These aren't man-made things, not all of them anyway. You look at the scripture, you can learn that God is omniscient, that he's omnipotent, that he's omnipresent, right? That God is perfect in all his ways. He's loving, he's relational. There's unique attributes that only God has. He is singular. There's no other God like him. There's no other being like him. He is one, amen. Right? You learn God's unique attributes. You learn God's shared attributes. Again, we have a series on this a few years back. We taught the difference between God's perfect attributes, his unique attributes, and his common or shared attributes. These are attributes he gives you as well. Say, why am I studying this? Because you're studying God, amen. And you're studying what part of you is made in the image of God. Like, you're able to love like God is. You're able to know and think like God knows. You're able to speak like God speaks. That's different than a rock. That's different than the moss and your pet dog. Like, they don't do that. You do, though. Okay. And so to understand God's attributes is to see and understand what God looks like, right? His holiness, as an example. His eternality. These are all subjects you can study from the scripture. That, again, in a systematic theology, I'm not saying that's Bible or anything necessarily, but it lists them there right there. They've tried to do the work as we're doing of making a list of important things, and here you go. It's a reference, that's all it is. But we're adding some to our list. God's holiness is a very important attribute to study. His omnipotence, his omniscience. You know, people disagree with some of these things, right? God's not omniscient, is he? No, they just say it like this. Jesus is not omniscient, but Jesus is God, right? Like, that's an important quibble you just had there. Yeah. Right? This is no minor thing. It's affecting a major and important doctrine. Amen. There's another section of systematic theology. It's called bibliology, the study or the knowledge of the Bible. Like, what about the Bible itself? You say, well, does the Bible actually speak about itself? The answer is yes. It speaks about inspiration. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and how holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost. Right, in time past. So you have inspiration taught in the Bible. You have the utilization or the usage of the Word of God, how you need the Word of God. Man lives by every Word of God. We rightly divide the Word of truth. Okay? We have the doctrine of preservation in the Scripture. God preserves His Word, not a jot or tittle will be removed from His Word. Right? Amen. It'll be preserved as silver tried in a fire, Psalm 12. Preservation is taught in Scripture. And it's an important doctrine, because if we don't have the Word of God, then what are we even talking about listing things that we can learn from the Bible? We don't know what the Bible is. We think it's a man-made book. Preservation, it's perfection. It's infallibility. It being without error is something taught in the Scripture because God is without error, and so His inspired Word must be infallible, right? The authority of the Scripture. When the Bible says, thus saith the Lord hundreds of times, this is not merely men claiming their opinion or earthly authority. These are men claiming to speak for God as God spoke to them. Doesn't mean they're truly speaking for God, but it does mean we have to consider whether they were. When we look at the Bible and you see the evidence of prophecy fulfilled and promises fulfilled, you say, well, that what we're talking about, these subjects, the first 60 subjects we've covered, are so important that man cannot understand them the way the Bible describes them. This is part of understanding the Bible as the Word of God. Some other fields of systematic theology you might consider, is that that important? Like angelology, for example. Well, I don't know if I'd put angels in the top 100 things that you need to learn from the Bible, but they are in the Bible. It's a subject to cover. But Satan, however, who was a cherub, not an angel, seems to be a pretty important character in the Scripture. To know Satan and his wiles, if you're ignorant of that, then you might be tripped up once or twice. To understand you shouldn't mess with other spiritual beings that are evil is a significant thing. Amen. Not the top 10, not the top 50. But it's something if you neglect and say, yeah, it's not very important to know that Satan's real, then you might be captive by some of his ministers who transform themselves into righteousness, right? Into ministers of righteousness. So Paul talks about that. The Bible talks a lot about it. Jesus talked about it, to be aware of it. It's something we should be aware of. Things that we learn from the Bible that are important aren't just things that are positive for us, but are warnings for us as well. Not Cole's in that category. Other categories of systematic theology, Christology, for example, which is the study of Christ himself. You say, we already put Christ on the list. No, I get it. He's on the list already. I put it on the list here because there's a huge amount of doctrines regarding Christology or the deity of Christ or who he was. From the hypostatic union to the incarnation of Christ to many other things describing his impeccability, describing who he was and why it's important that we believe and understand him according to the Scriptures. There's so much the Bible speaks of him, and therefore we need to get that right. By the way, I put it on the list as well because as a dispensationalist, speaking to those who would rejoice in rightly dividing the word of truth, your dispensational understanding does not affect Christology in one iota. Amen. It doesn't. Which is to say, we have yet, in our little section here about theologies, got to the place where we've had to deal with dispensational right division. Bibliology, theology proper about God, Christology, even angelology about Satan has nothing to do with dispensational understanding. Okay? And I say that to put it in the proper perspective. It's not that right division is unimportant. It's simply there are things more important than that, okay? Soteriology is the fancy $10 word for the doctrine of salvation, which we already put on the list. But again, there's so much to concern about salvation regarding faith and works and whether certain works save you or not. Where are the place of works in salvation? These are multiple subjects you can study about that. And these, Christology and salvation, are more important than what theologians call ecclesiology. You say, what's ecclesiology? This is the doctrine of the church. The ecclesia, the doctrine of the church. Now this, ecclesiology, is the section, if you are a dispensationalist wanting to put your doctrine in a theology book, that's where you put it, right there. The ecclesiology section, the section about the church. Because the mystery and the dispensation of God's grace creates the body of Christ, a new creature, which is the church. That's this mystery revealed. That's where you put it. So is your ecclesiology different than the Reformed? Yes. It's not that there's no church. It's not that Christ isn't the head of the church. They believe that too. But it's the nature of this thing that we have a difference of agreement on. Eschatology. Some of you know that word. Some of you don't. This is the field of theology regarding future things. What does the Bible say about the future events? Very important. All these theologies are important. All these doctrines are important, but some more important than others. More important than your view of what will happen in the future is your view on who God is, what salvation is, how to rightly divide the Bible. All these are more important than, what do you think the rapture is going to be? Is there a rapture? Is there not a rapture? Right? Well, there's got to be a rapture. We're dispensationalists. None of that is as important as the things we mentioned already. Amen. That's why we're making a list. Right? Important, but not the most important of these other things. Okay? So end times events, signs of the end times, not as important as learning to rightly divide your Bible, dispensational understanding, who Christ is, how you walk, how you live in Christ, your love, joy, gospel, all this stuff we've already mentioned, more important than your claiming end time signs. I say, well, yeah, it's not the most important, but it's still fun. Yeah, I understand it's fun. Okay. And dispensationally, you're incorrect to try to look for signs anyway. Okay. But people have really imbalanced their time and attention to things less important. And again, it's on the assumption that everyone already knows those things. No, they don't. They don't. Okay. More and more people are ignorant of these most important things. And you don't start teaching them by teaching them something that hasn't happened yet about eschatology that you're still debating about the exact timing of. It's not where you start, right? But that's where I started. That was fun. It's like, look at those end times here. Look at the current events. There it is. That thing, that's what that is right there. Thanks, Hal Lindsey, you know. That's not the most important thing. All right. But there is something really, really important in eschatology. There is something I might even bump higher in the list than I have in eschatology, and that is the doctrine of the return of Jesus, which is a fundamental of Christianity. If you do not believe Jesus will return in the future, you're contradicting Bible doctrine, straight up. Now, when, right, and the timing events before that, that's all the other things people argue about, but that Jesus will return and bring his kingdom with him, this is a fundamental Christianity and something that is our hope, right? If we don't think Jesus is going to come back, then what are we hoping in? We're just left here? You see, and that's the end of it? No, this is tied to the resurrection. So again, looking at the field of eschatology, we have to discern the more important teaching about his return and the less important teachings about the timing of the rapture. Right? You have to discern the more and less importance of these things. How many have we gone through now? 70? 75? I don't know how many now. I've lost count. Quite a few. We've gone over halfway and beyond. But we shouldn't forget other things that maybe we should elevate to the list here. We couldn't forget these things. We have not yet begun to talk about a summary, just a simple summary of every book of the Bible. There's 66 books in the Bible, right? Like, if you don't study everything in the Bible, at least you can understand what each book, or let's say the bigger books, are at least talking about. Like, what's the subject here? You got to know, as I said, that Romans is the most important book in the Bible. You got to know that. Okay. You know, you say, well, I think John is. Well, the Gospel of John, which is also important, more important than Haggai, I would say, right, doesn't give you the gospel that's in Romans. Amen. It has the gospel, but it doesn't give you the full revelation of it as in Romans, you see. And so you have to discern that. But yes, John is important. You have to know what John's speaking of, that John concludes with Jesus is the Son of God and he's divine, right? What does Matthew speak of? What does Hosea speak about? What is Isaiah all about? It's important to have just a brief summary of the 66 books. I have a list at home where I have just a one-line summary just to exercise myself, to boil it down to one statement, which is harder for the bigger books, right? What is that book about? So in a table of contents, you can say, well, that book's about this and that book's about that. Do you know that Numbers is about the wilderness wanderings? Duh. No? Well, then you should know. Read the book, see what it's about, right? Do you know where Daniel's at? We haven't even mentioned Daniel very much. Do you know what's happening when he's in the lion's den? Why is he there? Right. So to have a summary of the 66 books, we haven't yet begun talking about most important chapters in the Bible. There are some chapters that are more important than others in the Bible. Psalm 119, there's been volumes written on that chapter in the Bible. Fewer volumes written about Psalm 117. You say, what? That's the shortest psalm in the Psalms, two verses. Good stuff. It's two verses long, right? So they're more important chapters than others. Okay. What about character studies? We talked about certain people and their importance in the Bible, but you can study the different characteristics of those people, right, to see what you can copy from them or learn from them. People have done this before, and you can do this, by the way, without necessarily knowing how to write the Bible to truth. This type of thing is what many Christians involve themselves with, character studies. We're going to study the personalities of the disciples. Okay. Like I said, some disciples are more important than others in relation to your understanding of the Bible, but you try to do that, and they try to put things that aren't in there. You know, try to have the courage of a Daniel and try to have the, you know, the faithfulness and of Job and things like that. Those aren't wrong. It's important to do character studies. More important than that is knowing God's will for your life, as revealed in Scripture. We haven't even talked about defining words yet. We've talked about redemption, righteousness, some of these words, but there's many other words in the Bible that you probably need to define. You can make a list of those words and try to prioritize them. What about prophecies? We haven't begun to talk about those either. Hundreds of messianic prophecies. What are the most important prophecies in the Bible? Well, I think some prophecies about Christ would be pretty important. Because without those prophecies, you don't know Jesus is the Christ. Some prophecies about Israel would be important, because without that, you wouldn't know God keeps his promises, right? What about the prophecy given to Daniel about the end times, even, where he spans empires in past and future history? That's no small prophecy, right? But some of these prophecies are more important than others. We haven't begun to talk about Proverbs. The Bible's a big book. Well, relatively big to some of the books you're used to reading, perhaps. But Proverbs has many Proverbs in it. Solomon wrote over 1,000, but Proverbs has far fewer than that. But there's more important Proverbs than others. Proverbs, of course, being a book written under the law, what are the most important Proverbs in Solomon? If Solomon is the wisest man to ever live, and the book of Proverbs gives his wisdom for the Old Testament there, what are the most important ones? You say, well, I haven't read Proverbs in a while. Okay, well, you see how the exercise proves fruitful? You got to read the thing to figure out what's more important in there. What's the most important proverb, or the top 10? What about songs? Yeah, there's songs and psalms in the Bible. Oh, right, the psalms, yeah. There's important things in there, too. What about that Psalm 22 prophecy about Jesus being nailed to the cross in Psalm 22? That's pretty important, right? We haven't talked about suffering yet. Oh, right, we suffer a lot in our life, and the Bible talks a lot about that. Job talks about suffering. Paul talks about long-suffering. Jesus suffered first. There's a whole teaching about suffering all throughout the Scripture. What about giving and generosity? That's important, too. That's important. Put it on the list. Marriage? Yes, put it there. There's a lot to talk about marriage. Yep, family? God ordained that thing. Didn't he make it? Didn't he define what family was? By the way, how do we deal with rulers in society? Well, the Bible talks about that too. God ordained powers, higher powers. And by the way, have you forgotten about your ministry yet? Oh, right. It's not just learning things in the Bible. I'm supposed to do something. What about your ministry? Colossians 4:17, Paul says, what about Archippus? He says, pray for Archippus that he may fulfill his ministry. You have a ministry to do. Colossians 1:29, Paul says his ministry is to warn men, perfecting them. The perfection of men. By what? The words in this book. Amen. That's why making a list of the most important things that you can learn from the Bible is important to do. It saves you time from randomly searching around. Okay. It also will help you learn how to be perfect, as 2 Timothy 3:16 says, or 17 says. Evangelism is part of your ministry. Preaching, what it is, how to do it. Teaching, faithfulness is a part of your ministry. Church, what is church ministry? We talk about the church itself, but what is church ministry among each other? That's a whole seminar. Oh, we did one already. All right. Eldership, what are elders? What does that mean? We talked about the pastor's job a month ago or so. What about the doctrine of separation? Shh, don't talk about that. It's in the Bible, and it's important. By the way, that is dispensational. Separation has a dispensational aspect to it. So you better know how to rightly divide before you study that thing. There's a lot of doctrines that fall lower on this list and maybe even go beyond 100 that you need to rightly divide to understand, which is why knowing the Bible rightly divided is higher up. It's not the highest, but it's higher up. Because you understand stuff like this or fasting without right division, right? What about warning? Warning of errors, rebuke, and correction. This is throughout the Scripture. Righteous man loves rebuke. Does he? That's what the Bible says, you know. So you got to learn what this is. Restoration is a ministry Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 6. How do we restore a brother who's fallen in sin or not, you know, who's spiritually weak? How to comfort. Speaking of weaker brothers, that's a whole doctrine we're covering in Romans 14, which is no small thing in ministry in this dispensation. Charity. I got to put that on the list because Paul says it's the bond of perfectness. Perfectness. Perfection. Charity. Yeah, we got to know what charity is. There's a whole chapter defining what that is, and in many other epistles, Paul describes it. Oh, yeah, and don't forget to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I say always, I misspelled on your outline. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice evermore is what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians. Oh, and give thanks in everything you do, thanksgiving to God. Important to give thanks, right? That wasn't on the list heretofore. Are we at 100 already? I think we've passed 100. And we're just now getting to Thanksgiving? You see how many things you have to consider? And the challenge here is to consider what is most important. You won't have a loss of profitability and edification by doing this. Because you'll not only recall what you've learned, but you'll start saying, but this is more important. It might give you an idea of what you should communicate to other people first. What you might raise your children with first. What you might need to minister first. Or at the very least, do your own Bible studies with. So now what? Now we've made this list of innumerable things that are important, right? Now what do we do? We need to recognize what's not on the list. By the way, I'd just like to point out I finished 100 things in less than an hour. But we need to recognize what's not on this list. Because if it's not on this list, that means it's less important. I'm going to put on the list of things that are less important, just for your acknowledgement, is Jabez, which was a bestseller, unimportant doctrine in the Bible. No, the prayer of Jabez, that's got to be an important Christian understanding. He has a whole 2 verses in the Bible about him. Not even your dispensation. Not important. You know what happened there? Someone found 2 verses that no one ever talked about, wrote a book about it, speculated, added some wrong doctrine, and sold it to you because it had some secret thing you didn't know. Everything on this list, if you noticed, are things that most Christians talk about. There's some on there they were ignorant of, right? But most of them, they talk about them, but they also disagree about them. I didn't say this list were things you didn't know or that were debated. They're just the most important things. But sadly, many in the top 10 and 15 and 20 are debated in Christianity. That's an issue, right? Shofars aren't on this list. You say, shofar what? Yeah, you know, things that you learn about Jewish history and rituals that just aren't on the list. But that's fun to learn. It sure is. You know, the Hebrews had a way to do marriage this way? Not on the list. You know, the shofar is like a trumpet and that type of thing at the end times. Not as important. Not as important. What about the red heifer? That's got to be important. Because the red heifer means they could build the temple, and the temple means Israel's going to be there. It means Jesus is going to return. Jesus' return is very important, but the red heifer, not so much. You see the difference? You got to have that judgment. Okay. Nephilim. You say the who? The giants in Genesis 6, the sons of God. You can learn a lot about them on the internet, which tells you the internet has really dulled our ability to focus and discern on what's most important. What the internet does is serves up to you things that you will like to click on. And I know this title is clickbaity, right? And then they start hearing the important doctrines going, yawn, Godhead, Jesus, salvation, what? Thanksgiving, crucified life. Yeah, those are the most important things in the Bible. Amen. And likely you're still trying to learn some of those subjects, right? These aren't things one and done. Anyway, you might learn more important things as you study and as you grow. Don't forget the most important. As you learn things, come back to this list and compare what you're learning or what you hear to the most important things in the Bible. If it's not on the list, that doesn't mean it's unimportant. It just means it's not the most important. You have to know that relation, okay? By the way, you could title this study, The 100 Most Important Bible Studies to Do. And that sounds more intimidating. Like 100 Bible studies. It's one thing to make a list, but now I got to study all these things? That was kind of the point of the list, but that's a lot of Bible studies. Like, yeah, but they're important. Have you seen what's on the list? This isn't just like favorite meals. These are like important things. Amen. Maybe there's 100 things that you need to do or to teach, okay, or to communicate or to establish. You want to have a Bible study? Pick from the most important on the list. You want to establish a church ministry? Pick from the most important on the list. Learning and teaching these more important things will produce stronger saints and prevent heresy and error. Avoiding these things, because everyone knows them already, which they don't, will increase error and make weaker saints because you're spending too much time on things less important. Remember I said too much. It's not that we ignore other things. You take these 100 list of 100 things here, and it'll keep you busy. If you take one a month, it'll keep you busy for a decade. Take one study a month. A month. Just one item. Study something about that. Keep you busy for a decade. That's 10 years of your life. Okay? But that's just one a month. What if you did one a week? You see, that's 2 years. I guarantee you, you will not go through this list of 100 studies you should do and not come out with more things to study. I guarantee it. Because most of you recognize it's like, that's a pretty generic subject, Justin. God, I mean, really? Like, yeah, there's a ton of things about him. But you need to know him, right? So go back through this list after you study some of them, or just go back now and go back to these 100 important things and now list 3 or 5 things about each thing I mentioned. Because you can do that too, because there's so many things. And forget a decade. That's a lifetime of study right there, right? You said, I don't have time. Exactly. Your life is too short. You need to make this list. You need to prioritize. You need to learn the things you need to know to be the faithful minister God has made you to be. Right? That's what needs to happen. We need to appreciate from this list how important the Bible is for your life. Okay? It's not just another click through the top 10 things. This is like those things we described are your life, folks. That's like eternal life. That's who to be and how to think and how to live. Who to marry, right? How to marry. It's all right there on this list. And so 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished to all good works. We forgot to list the good works. That's also important, right?
Amen.
There's lots of things to study. So I encourage you to make that list to increase and just exercise your mind and your spirit about what is more important to get that discerning and judgment. As Paul prays, that you would abound in knowledge and love and judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent.
Amen.
Hopefully that was helpful. 100 things in an hour. Any comments or questions? Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, I did it. I told you. I told you.